Welcome back to the Weekender on Y95. I'm Kevin Northup. A chance for people in Yarmouth to speak out about healthcare in Nova Scotia. Dozens had a question and answer session with health leaders Wednesday at the Rod Grant Hotel, including Health Minister Michelle Thompson. She was joined by Karen Oldfield, CEO of Nova Scotia Health, and Deputy Minister Jeanine Lagasse. It was part of a series of discussions across the province. It came just hours after Thompson announced sweeping changes to emergency department waiting areas in light of two Nova Scotians that lost their lives while waiting for care. Nurse practitioners assigned to emergency rooms along with patient advocates to check in on people waiting to be seen. More virtual care coming as well and ensuring patients coming in by ambulance are admitted faster. This morning, we'll recap the session on Wednesday. It started with Tanya Nixon, Western Zone Vice President of Operations for Nova Scotia Health.
Have heard and have visited our mobile primary healthcare units. We are trying to increase the emergency department here. We've looked for ways to increase primary care access. I know many of you have heard and have visited our mobile primary healthcare units. We are trying to increase primary care clinic access here as well. And we have a very comprehensive access proposal that has been drafted, has been presented, and we're really excited that we hope to be making an upcoming announcement that includes us partnering with community providers, Dow family residency providers, as well as our acute care providers in the hospital. The other thing that I would say is in rural parts of Nova Scotia, emergency health services has been incredibly important. We've been working really hard with our colleagues at Department of Health and Wellness and EMCI, EHS. I know we have colleagues here in the room today. We have added non-urgent transportation options in the system. That really has enabled us to free up emergency access for people who need really acute medical transportation when they need it. I do want to acknowledge, in addition to my colleagues here at the front, we have a number of providers around the room today, continuing care, mental health, primary health care. Thank you for coming. They all have a wealth of information, service details. If you or a loved one are looking to access service, please don't hesitate to reach out and ask some questions. We do have someone here who can help us with accessing virtual care. If you do not have a provider, and you are waiting to gain access to a provider, virtual care is one of a number of options for you, and we do have someone here who can help you with that today. Lastly, before I introduce my colleagues, we really have tried to increase the ability to have local decision makers who are working with staff and people like yourself to make decisions. About a year and a half ago, we made the decision to have Tracy Watkins Allen become the site lead here in the zone. Tracy supports the team, both the frontline staff, the volunteers, the physician providers, and is the liaison with the community agencies.
She was joined by other staff members who also shed light on the work being done in the Yarmouth area.
The virtual emergency and our emergency department, we are able to see lower acuity patients during the day, so that does help decrease the wait times in the emergency department. The virtual care, which there is somebody here with Joanne's team to be able to help people who are unattached, don't have a primary care provider, to be able to access that care for free, the virtual Maple platform. Primary care mobile units, which we have one coming this weekend actually in Yarmouth at Harbour South. So just if you're looking for a prescription refill or those sorts of things, great opportunity. We have looked at allocating a surgical bed so that we can provide care for those needing elective surgery. During COVID, just due to occupancy rates, we were prioritizing those urgent cares, cases, cancers, those sorts of things, but now we're trying to work through the backlog of elective cases. They talked about the GP anesthesia program, which is phenomenal. Like I said, I work with the foundation and their support is very much appreciated. They provide equipment regularly each year that we probably wouldn't be able to procure without their support and the generous donations of you guys in the community, so that's appreciated. We have partnered with School of Nursing to kind of look at how can we retain some of the nurses that are at the school that's practically right in our parking lot. So looking at, you know, rural nursing bursaries as well as we've implemented an undergraduate student nurse role. So students that are in the program, while they're studying, they can also work casually, which gives them clinical experience plus employment while they're doing their studies. Because of significant deficits within our nursing program, we have utilized travel nurses. So we have been working with a significant amount of travel companies to make sure that we have the nurses that we need to be able to provide the care. And we've also had to look at, and I know public Tableau is out there, if you look at the data, our acute occupancy rate is around 130%. So if you visit the hospital, you will see people potentially in hallways and unconventional spaces, but it's us meeting the needs of the community. I saw Bob was over there, so we do work with our partners in continuing care to make sure that people are aware of resources available out in the community to hopefully keep them at home longer so that they don't need to come in hospital and wait for long-term care placements. We want to keep people home, make sure that they have the resources that they need so that people are getting the care they need in the right, by the right provider and in the right space.
I will say that I have had many opportunities to practice obstetrics in Yarmouth. It's a wonderful community. We have done a significant amount of work to ensure that your patients, obstetrical and gynecological, do not need to travel for care from this area. It's been very challenging from a resource point of view, but we've done, a good job so far. My job is the Western Zone Medical Executive Director, so I am part of Tanya and Allison's team, and basically we liaise with Dalhousie, Department of Health and Wellness, and the other partners, including community partners, to ensure that we provide the clinical care to you that's required. A couple of initiatives that Tanya didn't mention that I'm just going to highlight for brevity. I would like to identify that we have a physician recruitment team member, Dr. Michelle Dow, who's actually local to this area. She's an excellent addition to the team. She has been identified as somebody who will help us to bring some family practitioners to the area, Southwest Nova, and we're really hopeful that she will be able to add to the team. The other initiative I'd like to bring to your attention is the Family Practice Anesthesia Initiative. The Yarmouth area has been challenged significantly with respect to our ability to address surgical strategy initiatives, and we have difficulty with retention of anesthetists in this area. So it's a pilot which we've started. It will begin in March of this year. We have two individuals who actually have local ties to the area. We're very hopeful that this will be a positive initiative and that it will be something we'll be able to maintain the surgical access for you as patients who require care.
Then it was turned over to the public. COVID mandates for unvaccinated healthcare workers was the first topic brought forward.
Those who take comfort in shots and boosters should be free to do so without fear of retribution. But those who feel that their health or their soul is better served without it should also be fear of retribution. This is a highly personal matter and should be recognized by our bureaucracy. Again, I say hearing over listening. There's no shame in admitting you were deceived by the WHO, the UN, the illustrious Dr. Fauci. It was confusing and frightening time for all of us. Our health overseers definitely tried to do what was best for the people of Nova Scotia. And it may be time to admit that not all the information you were operating on was accurate. Not all of it was presented with honesty and care. Heaven knows this is a small province with limited resources. You needed outside help with the research, and you needed outside advice. But now you have your own data to work with. I would ask that you listen to the real facts that are now showing the truth about both this virus and this injection that's being pushed. Thank you. We have some unbelievable nurses in this province, in Yarmouth, in this area. And we've lost a lot of them, and that's a shame.
I do want to thank you for the comment and the way that you expressed it, extremely empathetic and knowledgeable, and obviously from the number of claps, a very heartfelt and important issue in Yarmouth. I'm just giving you the NSH numbers, so I can't talk beyond NSH, but I can tell you that there are 128 of 26,000 healthcare workers who work for NSH who are not vaccinated at this time. Okay? 128. Now,
not enough.
Not enough. So, our decision all along has been that vaccination would be required for those who work in high-risk settings. And that does include hospitals, but also other high-risk areas, such as long-term care. It's a very polarizing issue here and in other parts of the province. So the decision is not being revisited at this time. However, there's always tomorrow and there's always the day after. So that's not perhaps the answer you want to hear, but at this point in time, that is the that's the policy and that's where we are. And it's so, you know, I appreciate the sentiments and I do hear you. And we will take this back, and we do after pretty much every meeting. So I will never say never, but today it is not a change in our policies.
First off, I am one of those nurses that is not vaccinated and that has lost my job in this province that I've worked very hard for and have a $60,000 student loan to boot. I have my personal reasons for why I do not want this vaccine, which should be a choice, and my own personal convictions. I've been told from my employer that I don't have the right to my conscience, to my religion, to my creed. What?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what they say. Now, Michelle Thompson is here. I've wrote several emails. My mother, a veteran nurse, RN for 47 years, who also walked in the mandates. We get the same automated response back signed by your assistant, and our questions are never addressed. One, why? What is the scientific evidence that you're not allowing us back to work? Every other province in this country has allowed their unvaccinated healthcare workers back to work. Number two, the vaccine has proven it is ineffective at transmission. We've seen that. 1 week we had 800 healthcare workers off with COVID. I can pull up your very own provincial statistics today that over 82% of COVID hospitalizations and deaths are in the vaccinated. I can give you exact numbers from the government's own webpage. Okay? How long do you plan on leaving us on unpaid leave? How long? How long do I have to continue to suffer? This has been the worst year of my life. I have lost everything because of your draconian, unethical, and ineffective mandates that do nothing to mitigate transmission of COVID. The proof is there. All the proof is there.
So I can answer again. I appreciate that this is a very divisive conversation, and I can feel it in the room. And I appreciate your comments. I'm not in a position to argue science here today.
Because there is no science on this.
So we're not.
You can kick me out if you want. I've already lost everything because of you guys. Everything. And my health has suffered as a result.
So this is not something.
This is righteous anger is what you're seeing here right now today.
Okay. So we're probably not going to solve this here today. And well, this is a conversation.
Okay, well, I would like the question answered. Why are we not led back when every other province is allowed back?
I won't be answering that question today.
There you go. The science. What is the science behind it? When it's been proven that this vaccine does not mitigate the spread of COVID. It does nothing to stop the transmission of COVID. Your very own statistics want me to get them up here right now on the provincial government.
So we're gonna move on. I'm not gonna answer that question here today.
And that's what you get here, folks. That's what you get. But stay away from the boosters. We are seeing the side effects. You can shake your head all you want. This is what we're seeing. Yeah, so I know people who have lost loved ones. I will not stop speaking up. And I have been listening to the doctors and the scientists that have been speaking up. Not to the ones that are bought out and toting this narrative of control.
And I'm going to say thank you for your comments, and we're going to go on to another topic. And I would, again, just...
It's exactly what I expected. No answer.
I appreciate
that. Because they don't have an answer.
And there's clearly a lot of passion in the room around this. And I think that it's, we probably won't get into an answer today. So I'm hoping if you've got a question that's maybe on a different subject line, if you would like to put your hand up.
More coming next from the meeting in Yarmouth on Wednesday, including discussions on mental health initiatives. The Weekender returns in a moment on Y95.